Christian Dekushi on the telephone from Zurich, independent macroeconomist and geopolitical strategist. Hello, Christian.
Hello to you, Ron.
Nice to hear you on the radio here with us today. Coronavirus, it looks as though we may be over the hump in many parts of the world. Deconfinement's going on, people getting back to work, to school, and so on. But it's time to begin analyzing and trying to understand what happened and why. And what are the big questions that many people have? And I've thought a lot about this. How come Germany got off so easily? Germany, maybe Sweden, where the rest of the European countries have gone through hell. And then the United States, which is still in pretty bad shape. What are your thoughts on that, Christian?
Yeah, well, it's a very good question, and a lot of people, a lot of analysts and media are trying to address that same question in the last couple of weeks. Personally, I think that most of them are scratching at the surface. They're saying how wonderful the Chancellor of Germany, Mrs. Merkel, got everything right, and testing was done. So they're painting also quite a rosy picture of the decisions Germany took, and I think they're scratching at the surface. I don't think that is the real full picture.
Well, how is it that Germany got off so easily?
Well, it is a combination of two things. There were some measures that were taken very early. There was a lot of common sense, but there were also some mistakes that were taken. Germany took a few the decisions. Some of them were wrong. They were late, for instance, in stopping air travel. But overall, the decisions they took were actually good. But the one thing that everybody or most people are overlooking is the fact that Germany owes its tremendous success on the economic and healthcare front to a structure or infrastructure they put in place over the last few decades. It's not something new. So Germany has done very well because they have a very solid, broad infrastructure of hospitals, of laboratories. They have a decentralized, healthcare system. But they also have a very well-organized economy with quite a few safety nets, buffers, and what I call fire insurances that allow the economy and companies to take the first hit. The economy is actually buffered or shielded from a first shock, and it gives companies time to respond to it.
You mentioned closing international flights or flights to China. What's interesting is that France was the only country that held off on this. Everybody else closed their borders, and France was still, in fact, the borders have never really been that badly closed here. It's difficult to get from France into Switzerland, but going the other way around, you practically just walk across. There's hardly anybody there to check.
Well, actually, what you're addressing is not a main issue. I think everybody in Europe closed air travel and borders too late. The most effective thing would have been to close down or shut down air travel in the second half of January. Nobody did it, really. And so just closing down China didn't change that much. Yes, it kept some stuff out of your country, but it was already out. People travel so much these days, and so almost recklessly, that, the virus was probably in Europe already in January. And we could have probably done something by stopping, shutting air travel the latter part of January. Nobody did it. So in that sense, what France has done doesn't really change the picture so dramatically. Whether somebody did it in the early part of March or the latter part of March, yes, probably only changed the distribution of the infection curve a little bit. What I think really made the biggest change was the fact that Germany proves it, that it pays off to have a proper healthcare system, a universal healthcare coverage. It also pays off for governments to save money in the good years, for employers and employees to pay into some kind of economic fire insurance or safety nets that pays the workers' salary if there is a shock or an unexpected crisis. The most formidable tool Germany has is called Kurzarbeit, or what I would call shortened work or reduced work. When there is a shock and workers cannot work in normal hours, they are sent home, but part of the salary is still paid. So the government pays still 67% of the salary during that shock or that external crisis. That is actually only possible if a government is saving money in the good years and if corporations, employers, and workers are contributing to it too. Not many countries do that. You see, in the United States and in many other countries, they don't have that. They think that is a socialistic tool. So when a crisis hits, the government, the Congress, the politicians are discussing if they should do something. Then they do these partisan fights. Finally, they compromise on something. But you know, that's a very terrible way of spending money because you have to implement systems, methods, how to spend, who gets money. So corruption flourishes, money is spent inefficiently, the big corporations get it faster than the small people. That actually increases only inequality and actually it makes everything very slow. That is actually something where Germany and Austria, for instance, got off much better. They didn't have to do all that because they have those systems in place. The German government could just focus on the problem, the issue, and get to work. That is a huge difference, and I think this is something that very few people are really understanding.
Yeah, that's an interesting point of view on it. I mean, it's a matter of government control, a controlled economy over a more libertarian kind of free-flowing, a free market.
Well, this is actually where I disagree. It's not a controlled economy. It's actually what I would call the Germany learned from history. It pays off to have some safety nets, buffers, or fire insurance for difficult times so that corporations can take time to really focus on the issue rather than running around, you know, in desperation and trying to improvise something. These systems only help for a couple of months. They take the shock, they absorb the shock, workers get still some decent salary, while companies can work on the solution. This way, the German companies don't have to fire their employees. That helps them retain them. So this actually supports the retention of workers, and it's not control. I would say it's just kind of a fire insurance. You build a house, you are going to have a fire insurance on that house. That's how it works. And ultimately, I think it comes to this. Germans are maximizing long-term economic profits, where in the U.S. they seem to be maximizing rather short-term profits, right? It's just probably a little bit of a different focus.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned that you should set aside during fat years to save up for the lean years. We haven't had very many fat years that I recall in the last couple of decades. How did the Germans do it?
Well, with frugality.
Oh, come on. They spend lots of money up there. I mean, I don't see the frugality. They just seem like they always have more and better and the best of everything. I don't understand this. I'm sorry, but explain it to me, if you could, please.
It is actually, it may seem like that, but actually, although consumerism has arrived in Germany as well, many German people are still very good savers. They tend to save. And they're maybe less, into consumerism. Not that it hasn't arrived in big German cities, but as a whole, the country saves money. German companies don't pay out all the profits that they have. They retain profits. German households, they retain part of the earnings that they make. Germany went through two difficult world wars. They learned to save money. They learned to realize that bad times can always happen. Lean years may always occur, so they tend to save a little bit more. It is not being seen. People don't see that a lot, but while in the West, let's say Anglo-Saxon economies, companies, basically they pay out everything. They pay themselves big bonuses. They pay the profits to the shareholders. They strip of the companies off. You know, they take the substance out of the companies. The German companies, for instance, tend to retain profits. They don't pay it out. Japanese companies do something very similar as well. Basically, what I wanted to say is that a lot of people are commenting now, trying to explain why Germany did so well. They're saying, Mrs. Merkel did very good decisions. It's true. She's a scientist. That's all very true and correct. But it's not just the good decisions Germany took this year. There is a system that took many years to build. And there's a system that also tries to build certain resilience and stability. And this just happens to be the German market economy system. Anglo-Saxon countries tend to have a bit more flexibility, right? But it can be a huge difference. You saw this crisis. German unemployment remains roughly at 5.3%, almost unchanged. Unemployment in the U.S. went straight from 3.5% to 16.4% in a matter of 4 weeks. That's a huge difference. There's a lot of pain for a lot of families. Companies lay off workers. They have to rehire some of them. They have to train the new workers. A lot of money is being spent in the U.S. Unfortunately, a lot of that in the field.
Christian, it just seems to me that the American model is so different from Europeans in general, but the Germans in particular. And that's that businesses over there, they live for the moment. There's no particular interest in anything except making a killing, making a profit. There's little concern for people. And, you can easily fire people on the spot over there for no good reason. It's quite different than the European model, where in Germany, for example, companies build a crew that's part of the team, they're part of the company, and they stay with them for forever, right?
Yeah. You see that especially in countries like Germany and Japan, where the employers, the companies, go through difficult times with their employees. The companies in Germany are willing to take a loss for 1 or 2 years in order to keep their people, not to have to lay them off. And they believe that when they come out of the crisis, they will come out stronger. But they also keep those workers, not just because they're their kind, because they have invested and trained them. So they train their workers constantly, they invest in them. So just because there is a bad year, they don't lay them off. So that actually is an attitude that says, okay, let's take a loss this year, let's sacrifice the profits for 1 or 2 years, and that gives them a longer-term perspective on making money. Yes, you're right. In the United States, especially big companies, they're seen as more greed-oriented or more profit-oriented. They would not sacrifice their profit margins to keep their employees. I mean, to be honest with you, out of these 26 million Americans that were laid off in the course of 4 weeks, only a minority of them were really laid off because the companies had no more money. A lot of those people were laid off because their employers wanted to protect their profit margins. They would not sacrifice the profit margins to keep those employees. So not everyone that has been laid off was laid off really by the virus crisis itself. It's just a different business model, right? A different attitude towards profitability. In the United States, short-term profitability is protected at any cost. In Germany, short-term profitability is sacrificed in order to keep the whole team together, to keep the whole crew together. You find something similar in Japan as well.
How does Switzerland fit in? Which model do they follow?
Very good question. Smaller Swiss companies tend to operate in the Germanic way, but as you go higher up in the size of companies, big Swiss companies have adopted the American style, the American corporate style culture. So they also really go for profitability, and they lay off people very quickly to protect the profit margins. That is the case. Well, if you go further up into the other Western European countries, then that's not the Germanic way anymore. That's almost socialistic. Other European countries, Spain and Italy and France, they have adopted an even more a different model where the state is not allowing companies to lay off workers. So they have to keep the workers. They keep them because they have to, right? The Germanic model is very different. The corporations have a high incentive to keep the workers because they're constantly training them, investing in them. That is actually something worthwhile mentioning. So the European model is not homogenic.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an interesting observation there, Christian. I really appreciate you bringing that up here today. You have a website where people can learn more and get in touch with you. Could you tell us what that is again, please?
Yes, the name of the website is geopoliticalresearch.com.
Geopolitical?
Research.
Research. Geopoliticalresearch.com.
Com.
Geopoliticalresearch.com. You sell your information, don't you?
Well, we do have research and advice that we give, and also a newsletter. We provide it to corporations, also some policymakers. We invite people to come have a look at our website. And there's actually part of our research is available to people that cannot afford to buy anything. So our research is also a shortened and delayed way available on our website. Of course, not all of it, but part of it is available there.
Excellent. Thank you, Christian Takushi, independent macroeconomist and geopolitical strategist. Always good to have you with us here on Lifestyle 74.